Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 2, verse 22. Revelation chapter 2, verse 22. You have this verse of Scripture on the screen before you. You have it on the back of today's bulletin. Revelation chapter 2, verse 22. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. I want to begin today by telling you that this will not be an easy message for us to hear. It deals with some things that are alarming, and I feel like that since it's in this verse, we do need to deal with it, and so you're going to be able to follow along, I believe, very attentively and carefully as we look at Revelation 2:22. May we pray together first. Father, we realize that when we open our minds to your word, there are many things that comfort us, and then there are those things that will cause us to be alarmed. And so we pray that you will help us this day that we may be able to properly receive the things that are presented in this particular verse of Scripture. We realize that there are so many things for us to learn, and we pray that we will be always desirous of receiving spiritual fuel from your word, no matter how it may affect us. There will be times when we will be blessed. There will be times when we will be warned. And so we pray that whatever the occasion may be, that we will have a desire to receive properly and utilize properly your wonderful word. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading with Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, which is the church at Thyatira. We'll only read down through verse 23. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are gathered there are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent. She does not want to repent of her immorality. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. On the screen you see Revelation 2:22. I want to begin this morning by telling you that the very first word is a powerful word indeed. I do not need to spend a lot of time here other than I need to remind you that there are two important words that are used. Only one of those used here, and it is, you will see, translated, behold, and it is the Greek word I-D-O-U. I want to remind you and let you see that the word is the aorist middle imperative verb, second person singular, of eidon. Now, I also need to remind you that there is another word that has been used for this word, behold, and it is the word horao. Many of you have heard this many, many times, and you're aware of the fact that it is the Greek word that we have explained, meaning taking a long look, looking from one side to the other, like the horizon. This word means to perceive. It means to see. It means to look. It means to be perceptive. It means to see with the eyes, but it also means to see with the mind. And that's very important for me to share with you today. This means to be aware, to behold, to look, to recognize. And here we discover that the Spirit of God is saying to these people at the church at Thyatira that they need to be alert, they need to be perceiving, they need to be perceptive, they need to be aware, they need to be on the alert because there are some things that are taking place that they need to be also aware of. It says, behold, I will cast her, Jezebel, into a bed, and the ones committing adultery with her into intense suffering, unless they repent of her works. I will not take any time other than to remind you now that word, behold, is a middle voice. And the middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. This is telling us today that if we will be alert and aware and be always informed about what took place in the life of Jezebel and what takes place in the lives of many individuals today, it will be to our advantage. And that's the reason why we have a middle voice there. The aorist tense means at a point of time, and the imperative verb is the verb of command. So we have then the word, behold, I will cast her into a bed. We're going to spend a moment now to look at the next word that we see here, cast. It is, as you can see, the word ballo, B-A-L-L-O. We get an emphasis on throwing a ball from this. I cast her into a bed. The word bed is an interesting word. It is the Greek word kleine, which is pronounced K-L-E-E-N-A-Y, kleine. And it is the word which means couch. It means a mat. It means a bier. It is a word that is used that says that this particular bed could be made of wood, stone, metal, various things that could be used to make this bed. Now, if you will notice, you will see that this is saying that Jezebel has been involved in immorality. She's been involved in promiscuity, lasciviousness. And she has enlisted other individuals to come over and participate in the same type of lifestyle. So the Lord says, here's what I'm going to do. You choose the bed, I choose the bed. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and those committing adultery with her into intense suffering. Now I need to stop again on some Greek words to let you see that we have intense suffering. And most of you remember that we've emphasized this word over and over again over the years. And that is the Greek word T-H-L-I-P-S-I-N, thlipsin, or thlipsis. And the word thlipsis is the word which means pressure. Many, many times over these years, I've emphasized that word by giving you the illustration of the barriers on each side and barriers in the front and back and a concrete slab coming down, pressing a person all the way and squashing them to the point that their intestines are pushed out and their brains are pushed out because of that heavy weight upon them. And that's the reason why we have megalane. Megalane means mega, a great heavy barrier being brought down upon an individual that brings about intense suffering. Now, I'm trying to rush to my introduction because I want you to see that we have in this verse of Scripture an emphasis on what I've concluded and decided to call the bed principle. The bed principle. I've had about 5 years in the ministry. And over these years, it's been my responsibility and privilege to stand by the side of individuals' beds who were ill. It's also been my responsibility to stand by the side of the bed of individuals who were in the process of leaving this life. Now, I want you to know that over these years, out of all the many people that I've seen take their last breath and move from this life, there was only one person that I've seen that's left this life in what I would consider, and it's not for me to do any judging, but it's my feeling that the Scripture emphasizes, and you have inserted in your bulletin today, the sin and the death information. We're not dealing with that. I'm only telling you that this was an alarming situation to me as I stood by the side of this individual dying. I don't know. It is not for me to say. But I wondered oftentimes how a person dies who dies of sin unto death. I realized that this verse of Scripture here says that a person has phillipsis. They have pressure. And they die a horrible, terrible death. And so I'm not pointing that out today other than to remind you that we have here an emphasis. The Lord says, those people who fornicate, those people who commit adultery, those people who are lascivious, those people who choose to follow Jezebel's lifestyle, I will cast her into a bed, and the ones committing adultery with her into intense suffering. Unless, and last Wednesday night, those of you who were here got this information because we emphasized it over and over again, and I wanted you to see that there's a little word, Epsilon Alpha Nu. If you were not here Wednesday night, go back and get the tape and be sure that you listen carefully to the explanation of that word. And it says it right here, Epsilon Alpha Nu, which is one of the fourth class conditional clauses. And this one is a third class conditional clause. And it says, maybe so, maybe no. And I want to stop there long enough to tell you that this says there will be people also like Jezebel cast into this terrible dying stage unless, maybe they will, maybe they won't, unless they repent from her, notice, her works. Now, please notice that I have only taken a few seconds, really, to exegete this passage of Scripture. And there's a lot more that I would like to say, but I want to get to the bed principle. Number one, since the bed is associated with fornication, adultery, also associated with illness, it is used in this verse of Scripture to describe the nature of Jezebel's discipline from the Lord. Now, I want to give you time to think about that because that's a powerful thought. Since the bed is associated with fornication, also associated with illness, it is used in this verse of Scripture to describe the nature of Jezebel's discipline from our Lord. Now, I want all of us to be aware of the fact that when we sin, we must be aware that it is important that we admit our faults and failures and sins and do it immediately because it's not to our benefit. We're not profited by this at all if we continue to live outside of the divine power sphere and live in disharmony with our Lord. We see Jezebel. We've seen all the things about her. We don't need to recapitulate that. We have been aware of the fact that she's been a very ungodly individual. She's been a person who has influenced other people to become involved in immorality. And it says in idolatry, it says here that the bed is associated with fornication. And the bed is also associated with illness. So it's used to describe the nature of Jezebel's discipline from our Lord. Number two, Jezebel of Thyatira, from her own free will, chose a bed or beds of fornication. Therefore, our Lord chose for her punishment, a bed of illness and decay. When you look at this verse of Scripture, you'll be able to see that it says that she was the one, the recipient of phillipsis, which is a strong word which emphasizes extreme pressure. She received extreme pressure because of the fact that she would not turn and go in the right direction. What's amazing to me is that I don't have the time today, but I found passages of Scripture in the book of Jeremiah. I found passages of Scripture in the book of Ezekiel that tells me that Jerusalem and Judah and Israel decided that they would be involved in idolatry and adultery. And as a result of this, God says they are going to be extremely punished because they're not right with God. If you remember, a few sessions back, I told you that Jezebel's problem was not primarily adultery. Her primary problem was not idolatry. Her primary problem was that she was not right in her heart with God. So I'm saying to you today that whatever sins we may find ourselves involved in, that's not our primary problem. If it's jealousy, if it's bitterness, if it's gossiping, whatever it may be, that's not the primary problem. That is the result of our primary problem. And our primary problem is that we're not right in our hearts with God. We're not living in the divine power sphere. Number two, Jezebel of Thyatira, from her own free will, chose a bed of fornication, a bed of adultery. And as a result of that, our Lord chose for her punishment, a bed of illness, and a bed of decay. Number three, promiscuity results in both total frustration and unhappiness, as well as divine discipline. I believe it's important for you to get this embedded in your thinking. If you want to write it down, that's okay too. But I believe that we need to see what the Bible teaches about adultery, fornication, profligacy, lasciviousness, and all of these areas of immorality. Promiscuity results in both total frustration and unhappiness, as well as divine discipline. In other words, when people seek pleasure apart from the Word of God, they're going to find misery. Seeking pleasure, then, outside the boundaries provided by our Lord, find misery and disaster. God's plan is for the believer to be happy, and capacity must come first. Capacity is the issue. What I'm trying to tell you, and I put it in capital letters, no one has ever derived the happiness that they desire by involving themselves in promiscuity and adultery and fornication. Now, someone may ask, what's the difference between adultery and fornication? Primarily, we emphasize the fact that adultery is immorality of adults who are married. We emphasize that fornication is an immoral activity of younger individuals. So promiscuity then results in both total frustration and unhappiness, as well as added divine discipline. You might not want to copy all of this, but I'm trying to give you some thoughts. When people seek pleasure apart from the Word of God, they're going to find themselves not happy individuals. Seeking pleasure outside the boundaries provided by our Lord, they will find misery and disaster. God's plan is for the believer to be happy, and capacity must come first. One of the things we've tried to do through all these years, for self and for you, is to develop capacity. That simply means that we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and enlarge our ability to comprehend truth and be able to see from a vertical, divine viewpoint. God's plan is for the believer to be happy, and capacity must come first. Capacity is the issue. No one has ever derived the happiness that they have sought by promiscuity. So I put this on the screen for you. The road of happiness goes through the Word of God. If you don't take anything else down, I think that's a pretty good sentence. The road of happiness goes through the Word of God, the divine dinosphere, and not through the bedroom of Jezebel. I've analyzed this, and I felt like it was important for me to present to you today what I call the bed principle. God's plan is for us to have happiness. And that road of happiness goes through the Bible, God's thinking, the divine power sphere and not through the bedroom of Jezebel. Number four, we as believers are the products of our own decisions. It's important for me to let you just think about that for a few seconds. We as believers are the products of our own decisions. Likewise, Jezebel, as a believer, was the product of her own decisions. What did she do? She chose fornication. She chose, thereby, to be the recipient of being cast out and be cast into a bed of misery, frustration, unhappiness. Now, let me say this very quickly. If fornication made a person continually, over a longer period of time, happy, then all profligates would be ecstatics, would be involved with ecstatics. I had a hard time with this word ecstatic because I put it singular first, I analyzed it, and then I felt that I needed to put it plural. So I have to go back and let you see what I was thinking. She chose fornication and thereby chose for herself a life of misery. She chose for herself a life of frustration and unhappiness. And then as I sat there and typed this information, I thought, if fornication really made a person happy, then all profligates, all prostitutes, would be always continually in ecstatics. But they are not. Should I stay any longer there? No. Number six. Jezebel was seeking pleasure. But what did she find? She found self-induced misery. What did she find? She found unhappiness, to which God will eventually add divine discipline. Could I stop for a moment to say that Satan has done a fantastic job of twisting things? Are you aware of the fact that God is the institutor? Isn't that a good word, institutor? God is the one who instituted sex and marriage and love and companionship. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that it was God who formed Adam and saw it was not good for him to be alone, and so he made for him a companion? And do you realize that a man is only a half of a person and a woman is only a half of a person, and God's plan is for the man and the woman to fit? God's design is wonderful. You cannot make it any better. And yet what's happened is that Satan has come along, and all these magnificent things that God has done, Satan twists and perverts it and makes it something that it shouldn't be. And so I'm trying to tell you that people are trying to find happiness in promiscuity. They're trying to find happiness in drugs. They're trying to find happiness in a lascivious lifestyle. And they're not going to find happiness there because that's not God's plan. Number six. Jezebel was seeking pleasure. But what did she find? She found self-induced misery. Now please notice how I worded this. She was seeking pleasure, but she found self-induced misery, and she found unhappiness. A person who chooses to live a lifestyle apart from God's plan chooses to bring to self self-induced misery and unhappiness, to which God will eventually say, I'm going to do three things for you. First of all, I'm going to spank you. If you pay attention to the spanking, then you can get right and everything will be okay. Or if you don't pay attention to spankings, then I will scourge you, and the word scourge there means intense chastisement. And if you don't pay any attention to that, there's something else that I will do. Because I love you, he whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you be without chastisement, wherein all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. I didn't write that. That's in the book of Hebrews. And I'm telling you that it says, if you don't pay attention to spankings, if you don't pay attention to intense chastisement, then the next step will be the sin unto death. Jezebel was seeking pleasure, but she found self-induced misery. She found unhappiness. to which God will eventually add divine discipline. Notice, please, that the bed is not only a bed for fornication and adultery and immorality, but it is described here as a bed of illness, a bed of disease. And so I put capital letters, N-O-T-E. Note, all people who are ill are not suffering some divine punishment, because people do get this mixed up. So I want you to understand that I had to insert this into the message. All people who are ill are not necessarily suffering some divine punishment. Number 7, since God designed sex, in other words, God invented a lot of wonderful things, and sex is included. Since God designed sex as an expression of category 2 love between one man and one woman, God will not permit the distortion of sex into sin and evil without punishment. In other words, this is very important for us to get into our thinking. Jezebel is going to get maximum discipline. Number 8, illicit sex offers a moment of pleasure and oftentimes a lifetime of misery and a lifetime of unhappiness. I know that you cannot take all these points down, but please understand that point 8 is a powerful one. Immorality, illicit sex offers a moment of pleasure and oftentimes a lifetime of misery and unhappiness. We'll move to number 9. I'll move these off so that we will not mess up our vision here. Promiscuity is a distraction to the road of happiness. Promiscuity is a distraction to the road of happiness. A dead end for what could otherwise be a very wonderful and happy life. These are powerful statements, and I want you to be sure that you get this concept. Number 10. God, who invented sex for happiness, also invented happiness, which can only exist inside the divine power sphere and under God's rules. A promiscuous person is not a happy person. Now, this leads me to tell you that this is not all I want to say today, and so I'm moving quite rapidly, and I want to deal now with a subject that you need to take some notes on. It is the subject that we don't hear much from the pulpits these days. It is the subject of adultery. If you want to take these points, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. We're going to move through this information. Adultery or fornication is often used in the Word of God to describe apostasy. What I want to do today, and I don't have the time right now to do it, I want to read for you Jeremiah chapter 3. I want to read for you Ezekiel chapter 16. All of these verses, 23 to 43. Because in these passages of scriptures, it emphasizes the fact that adultery is often used in the Word of God to describe apostasy. So you want to take the verses down, please. Jeremiah 3, 8 through 10. Ezekiel 16, 23 to 43. Revelation 17, verses 1 through 5. Hebrews 12, verse 16. Number 2. Marriage and sex are designed for our good. In fact, the scripture says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. What's interesting is that that word honorable is the word timnos, T-I-M-I-O-S, timnos, which means valuable, it means precious, it means respected, it means of great value. So I want you to see this. I'll leave it there for a few more seconds. Marriage and sex are designed for our good. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And I need to tell you again that that word honorable is such a beautiful word. It means valuable, precious, respected, of great value. But also I noticed something else here, and that is, it says undefiled. Let's look at the word undefiled for a few moments. Most of you remember that through the years we've emphasized the word miaino. Remember that? The word miaino is an interesting one because in the ancient days, people didn't have indoor facilities like we have. And they had what they called, or what we would call today, a chamber pot. And so during the night, the chamber pot would be used. And in the morning, they would walk out on the balcony of the second floor, and they would empty out the chamber pot out on the street. And if you happen to be walking by on your way to church, you just might be the recipient of the contents of the miaino pot. The word that's used here is miantos, but it's the word that has a little A at the beginning of it. M-I-A-N-T-O-S, miantos, is the word miaino, which means defiled. So if you walked along and you received the contents of the chamber pot, you would be defiled. But here, the little A at the beginning is an alpha privative, and it says it's without defilement, without stain. And so we have an interesting passage of Scripture indeed. Number three, adultery always mars trust and destroys compatibility between husband and wife, mentally and physically. Do you see that this kind of information needs to be given out over probably a week or so, with about 2 or 3 hours session every day? Because this is tremendous information that needs to be proclaimed in our day. We're facing this over and over again. You don't hear much of it from the pulpits today, but this is a message that needs to be proclaimed. Adultery always mars trust and destroys compatibility between husband and wife, mentally and physically. It's the basis for divorce and remarriage in Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, Luke 16:18, Deuteronomy 24:4. Desertion or adultery gives right for divorce and remarriage, and you can study those verses for yourself. Number four, promiscuous activity has a destructive effect upon the human body. Now, I need to tell you that my time is growing short, but this is one of the most important points that I can give. Did you notice what I said there? Promiscuous activity has a destructive effect upon the human body. This is found in 1 Corinthians 6:13-18, Proverbs 6:32, and Ephesians 4:19. I don't know whether I should get into this, but I think it's all right for you to hear it. A person who chooses as a male to become involved in immorality and promiscuity and lasciviousness is asking for himself difficulty. Ephesians 5:3, the Greek noun covetousness, pleonexia, which means searching out for happiness in the details of life, promiscuous activity results male impotence and the inability to copulate. Now, you will not hear this very often, but I want you to see that you need to study these scriptures in 1 Corinthians 6:13-18, Proverbs 6:32, and Ephesians 4:19. And a man needs to be aware of the fact that if he jumps from one bed to another, eventually he is going to create for himself some major physical difficulties. You can find that in these verses. For the female, there's a loss of pleasure in sex, resulting in frigidity and what is known as nymphomania. Nymphomania is a word which means frustration and misery. Take those verses down, look at them up later. Number five, the Bible teaches that adultery mars and hurts the soul of the believer. Now, what you notice, I'm saying something a little bit different now. Up to this point, I've emphasized the fact that when a person is lascivious, when a person involves himself like Jezebel in adultery and idolatry, they're asking for themselves difficulty from a physical standpoint, but they're also asking for themselves difficulty from the soul standpoint. Adultery mars and hurts the soul of the believer. Ephesians 4:19, Proverbs 6:32. In other words, the scripture says the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking understanding. He that doeth it is actually in the process of destroying his own soul. Doesn't mean that the person will go to hell. It means that he is destroying the very part that is very meaningful in life. Number six, mental adultery is also condemned. In Matthew chapter 5, 27 and 28, the scripture says, "Whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." Time is pressing. Let's go on to number seven. The Bible teaches that adultery is prohibited by many, many verses of scripture. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, Deuteronomy 5, 18. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, promiscuous activity is accepting a substitute in order to gratify a biological or emotional urge. It's important again that I reiterate number eight. Promiscuous activity is accepting a substitute in order to gratify a biological or emotional urge. Trusting the Lord causes one to flee fornication. And that's what the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. I realize that I'm preaching like I'm not going to be preaching the second service. But Mike's not going to be preaching the second service. But anyway, I've got a lot to say in the second service. So hold everything. Let's go move to number nine. The greatest benefit in the expression of love, marriage, is gained by those who are in fellowship with Jesus Christ and stabilized in the Word of God. Now, did I do this correctly? I did. The greatest benefit in the expression of love in marriage is gained by those who are in fellowship with Jesus Christ and stabilized in His Word. That brings me to the last point. Look at it, please. Number 10. Some people say, does God really have a person for me for life? Yes. God is as concerned about this as He's concerned about other things. So every believer will eventually meet his, her, right person. I need to tell you, therefore, that individual must wait on the Lord. We must see something that I put in capital letters here. No other person will do. That's a powerful statement. Important. No other person will do. In God's original plan, He chose the right person for Adam. And He chose the right person for you. This is revealed to us in a number of passages, which we see now on the screen. Genesis 2, 21-25. Ephesians 5, 31-33. And Proverbs 18, 22. Can you see why there's so much information in God's Word on the subject of adultery? Behold, I will cast her into a bed, Revelation 2:22. And the ones committing adultery with her into intense suffering. Intense suffering means mega, great, thalipsis, suffering. Unless, third class conditional clause presented there, unless they repent, please notice, of her works. I thought this was quite unique the way that the scripture presented this. Repent of her works. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we realize today that some things we hear and study from Your Word are not the most pleasant things to hear. And yet we are aware of the fact that the Word of God is powerful and deals with a lot of different areas of life. And this is one of them. And so we're thankful that we're able today to take a look into these magnificent thoughts in relationship to a person like Jezebel choosing to go in the wrong direction and what takes place when a person goes that way. We pray today that You will guide each one of us, that we may be aware of the importance of living our lives inside that sphere of power which is divine, so that we can be radiant, happy, triumphant, victorious believers. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to realize that God loves and Christ died. And they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and have life everlasting. Life that stays forever and ever. That takes us one day into that glorious place of heaven where we'll be forever. We know that the Scripture says, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be individuals who do that. We will do that just now. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.